be blowing the shofar close to 100 times. And as they blow the shofars, they may make, you know, some beautiful sounds. They may make some ear-piercing sounds and some horrible sounds. It's not about the sounds. It's about waking us up, right? And so we don't want you to be focused on listening to the sounds of their shofar blowing, but to be hearing God's voice saying to you personally, wake up, get ready, and revealing to you, to say the prayer, Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Allow God, through the blowing of the shofar, to awaken us and awaken in our hearts and minds a need for him and what areas are in our record books that still need to be confessed, surrendered, and repented of. Okay, we all here? Seven? Rick, if you'll go on this end. Rick's going to start our... No, he's going to start our... Takiya Shevarim Turua Takiya Takiya Shevarim Teruah, Tekiah, Tekiah, Shevarim, Teruah, Tekiah, Tekiah, Shevarim. Takiya, Takiya, Shevarim, Takiya, Takiya, Shevarim, Takiya, Takiya. Teruah, Tekiya, Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya, Tekiya, Teruah. Takiya, Takiya Gadola. Book of Isaiah, Isaiah uses this phrase in that day quite a bit. So many times we're not going to be able to read them all tonight. I mean, we could, but we're not going to. And so at Yom Kippur, we'll look at some more of in that day text out of the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah, often in the Bible, when it uses this phrase, in that day, it's referring to the judgment day, which is not necessarily just a literal 24-hour period, but the period of God's judgment time. And so within this, in that day phrases, we're going to see the remnant of the Lord, the remnant phrase come up in Isaiah as well. So starting in chapter 28, verse 5, we're going to look at some very scattered text through Isaiah, not all out of one chapter. But chapter 28, verse 5, in that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. Now, there's a bunch here in this text, so let's unpack it a little bit. In that day, again, that last day, the last time period of this earth's history and on into the eternity, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty. Now, it's interesting, on Rosh Hashanah, we'll have the challah bread, and we'll eat the challah bread, dip that in the honey as well. But the challah bread that we eat on Rosh Hashanah is different than the challah bread that we eat all year long. On Sabbath, we have the challah bread, and it's a twisted bread, three pieces of dough braided together in a long braid. But on Rosh Hashanah, it's in a circle and has raisins in it and honey. And someone said that circle represents like a crown, God's crown. God is crowned as king. He is king and Lord of all. And so here he's saying that the remnant will have the Lord as their crown, that God will be our glory, that he will be our crown, and that he is glorified in his people. The Lord will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. So it's like being clothed in his righteousness, clothed in his robe, and crowned with himself, having his mind. Let this mind be in us that was in Yeshua the Messiah, him crowning us with his thoughts, his desires, his motives. And for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment. Now the Lord, he is the judge and he sits in judgment. But some very interesting text tells us that we also will sit in judgment. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 5, it says, can't you judge among yourselves? Why do you have to take one another to court? Can't you reason these things out yourself? Do you not know that you yourselves will judge angels? How much more can't you judge among yourselves? And so we will sit in judgment. God will give judgment unto his people to act as judges after this time, in this time of the end. And for a strength to those, the Lord will be a crown of glory and a diadem to the remnant. Remnant is the last remaining bit, right? If anyone still sews nowadays, you buy a big carp, a big roll of cloth, and whatever was left over after you used everything and it wasn't enough to sew anything with, that was the remnant, the last bit, or remnant carpet. We might be familiar with that, right? You have the house carpeted, and they say, what do you want to do with the leftover pieces? You might keep a little piece here or there to patch or something like that. The remnant, which matches the rest and matches the original. God's last remnant people, matching the God's people down through the ages. The remnant of his people are those, and he will give strength. He'll give his crown and his diadem. The Lord will be a strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. He calls us to stand as watchmen on the walls. He calls us to stand as sentinels at the gate, protecting the gate. And God will give us strength to turn back the battle at the gate. As the devil tries to enter in through our mind, through our ears, through our eyes, he calls us to do battle and to shut the gates so that the evil thoughts, the evil inclinations, the temptations do not come in. He calls us to be guardians of the gate of the house of the Lord, to protect other people, and from others, from evil, from Satan, and from other people. He calls us to be guardians of the gate, and God will strengthen us to turn back, not only to guard, but turn back the battle at the gate, to be gatekeepers, he calls us to be shomrei, guarders, guarders of the Sabbath, shomrei Shabbos, that we're guarding the edges of the Sabbath, that we're preserving God's truth, that we're guarding God's people, that we are guarding God's name, protecting his character and his reputation by living his life out in our lives, allowing him to live out his life through us. He calls us to guard the gate, and he will crown us and robe us and give us strength to push back the battle at the gate. Yeshua told the disciples that the gates of hell would not stand against them. And in that analogy, we are going against the gates of hell. Here we are guarding God's gate, but there we are on the offensive. Here we are on the defensive. There we are on the offensive and going against the evils of this world and bringing the battle to them, not waiting to be attacked, not just fortifying our own little borders and fortifying ourselves and hiding ourselves but going against the power of the enemy, speaking out against the evils in this world, speaking out against the corruption in this world, and speaking for truth, and God calls us to do both. Be on the defensive and on the offensive to protect as well as attack. All in the word of the Lord and the power of the Lord. Out of chapter 29, the next chapter, verse 20, for the terrible one is brought to nothing. The scornful one is consumed, and all who watch for iniquity are cut off. Who make a man an offender by a word and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate and turn aside the just by empty words. We looked at this in another sermon when we did all of chapter 29, but in reference here to this last day and this guarding of the gate, let's look at it again. The terrible one is brought to nothing. So those who come and try and attack the gates of God will be brought to nothing. The devil will be brought to nothing. Nothing. The Bible says we can look for him and we will not be able to find him when the judgment of God comes upon him. The scornful one will be consumed away. That goes for the devil, the liar, the scorner, as well as all who scorn God. And all those who watch for iniquity, looking for sin and looking for areas of sin and looking how to sin and how to sin more, they will be cut off. They will vanish away. They will be as nothing. They will be consumed in the day of judgment, in God's day, in God's vengeance. And what do they do in their attempts? The terrible ones, the scornful ones, the ones looking for iniquity, they try to make us an offender by our words. They try and trip us up in our words, how important it is for us to guard our tongue and use our words wisely. And now in the day when everything is seen and everything you post on Facebook or Twitter or say can be videotaped by somebody else, heard by someone else, recorded by someone else, seen by the NSA or whoever else, they try to make us an offender by our word. Try and trip us up just as they tried to do to Yeshua. Try and get him to say something that seemed against the word of God or against the nation. Trying to trip us up, making us offender by our words. And they lay snares for us. And they try to reprove us in the gate. Just like they did to Daniel. They could not find anything wrong in his character. They could not find anything against the nation's laws in his life. So they took the battle to his gate and tried to find something in his religion that they could turn and twist. And tried to make his religion illegal. And that will be Satan's last plot as well, to make the commandments of God illegal. Take and twist it. To make those who are obedient to God offenders and reprovers. They try and turn us aside by empty words. Try to reprove us at the gate. But God will be a strength to those, a crown to those, a diadem to those who stand at the gate. He will strengthen us in this battle. In chapter 26 of Isaiah, verse 1, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. So there's a time of judgment, but there's also a time of singing and joy. There's a time of destruction of the wicked. There's a time of battle. There's a time of protection. There's a time of defense and offense. But there's a time of rejoicing as well. We have a strong city, and God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. Keepers of the truth. And so he takes us through the announcement time. He takes us through Rosh Hashanah. He takes us through the judgment. He takes us through the judgment itself, Yom Kippur. And then he brings us right to Sukkot, where there's rejoicing and singing everlasting more. And that's when the gates are no longer locked, but the gates are opened up. That the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, God has truth. There is truth. God's word is truth. That keep his truth, who don't just say they believe his truth, but guard it, keep it, live it out by God's strength through his spirit. Those are the ones who may enter in. Open up, ye gates. Open up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. And the gates will be open for us. And we will follow in as well. With his crown upon us. And his robe as a diadem upon us. The guarders of the gates. Those who persevere through the persecution, through the reproof, through the insults and through the trials and through the temptations, who keep God's truth, will enter in through those gates. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 6. Return to him, teshuvah. This time of teshuvah, this time of repentance, a turning away from our sinful ways and a turning to him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day, every man shall throw away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, sin which your own hands have made for yourself. In that day, on judgment day, even the wicked will throw away the idols as they see they have been worthless and have not helped them, when their money will do them no good, when their houses will not protect them from the judgment of the Lord, when their fancy cars and their reputation and their fame and their lies will all be exposed. They'll throw it all away, but not in full repentance. Just as Judas took the 70 pieces of silver and was found wanting, he cast it down. I mean, it was 30 pieces of silver, cast it down. I betrayed an innocent man. But he wasn't repentant. He was just sorry he got caught. He went and hung himself. In that day, everyone shall throw away his idols. We don't have to wait till that day. We need to throw them away now. We need to lay them down now. We need to surrender them now. Allow God to reveal to us what is the idols in my life. For Abraham, it was his son. God said, give me your son. Give me your most cherished possession. Surrender him to me. Tough trial. Abraham passed. May God convict us and show us what our idol is. Some idols he'll need to take away. And some idols, once he knows that we've surrendered him, he'll let us keep. For his honor and for his glory and for his use, not for our own. But to lay it all down before the Lord. All our stuff, all our time, all our resources, putting God first and laying it before him. God, have what is yours, and all that I have is yours, and all that I am is yours. Guide and direct me this day and every day. How would you use my time? Take my mind, take my lips, and use me. Take my hands and take my talents and use them to protect your gate, to bring the battle to Satan's gate, to guard others, to help others, so that there'll be more people ready. Use my lips in warning and shouting and sounding the shofar sound. Use my talents and gifts. In that day, all our riches and all our savings will be worth nothing. I remember at the end of the movie of Schindler's List, all these people are gathered around him that he'd saved, thanking him. And he's wearing this medal that he received and these different honors that he received. And he starts crying and he starts ripping these things off and throwing them down. He takes his ring off. He said, this would have been worth another 10 people. Just taking one thing after another, taking his watch. This would have been worth another 100 people. Here, what do I need this watch for? What do I need this ring for? And that day, we don't want to sorrow that we did not lay it all down before the Lord. That we did not give him permission to use all that was necessary so that there'll be more in heaven. the ones that Chinda lost and died only to this first life. And maybe if they would have lived longer, they would have heard a message and maybe more would have been saved. But on that day, silver and gold that we're still holding on to, the time wasted that we clocked in, will mean that there won't be certain people in heaven because we selfishly used the time, because we greedily held on to what God was calling us to surrender. Everyone will throw down their silver and their gold. Chapter 10, Isaiah chapter 10, the next few verses are out of Isaiah chapter 10, verse 17. The light of Israel will be for a fire, and for his Holy One for a flame. Bright up, lighten up the sky, sound and brightness God calls us to be. And it will burn and devour his thorns and briars in a day, again, the destruction of the wicked. It will consume the glory of his forest and of his first fruit field, both soul and body. They will be as when a sick man wastes away. The light of Israel, the Lord our God, will be like a fire, a devouring fire in that day. When he comes, he will be like a fire burning it all up like a fire. The Bible says there'll be neither root nor branch. All of it will burn down. No doubt, I've seen pictures of forest fires after the fire, and there's these trunks still there, but no branches, no leaves, but the trunks are still there. When God consumes, there'll be neither trunk, there'll be no root, there'll be no branches, there'll be nothing. He consumes it all away, both soul and body. Yeshua used this very phrase. He said, fear not him who can destroy the body. Doesn't matter if we're martyrs. And they will attack. Red ready, they're going to attack. Calls us to be guarding the gate, talking warfare. Do not fear him who can destroy the body. When we've laid down our body, when we've laid down our time, when we've laid down ourselves, it doesn't matter. It's God's. If he wants to take us, hey, fine. Some ways the sooner the better. But rather fear him, Yeshua said, who will. Right? Don't fear him who can destroy the body, only if God permits it. But rather fear him who will destroy both soul and body in hell. God consumes, he consumes it all. Leaves, branches, twigs, trunk, and root. The wicked will be consumed away, vanish away. Like a sick man who vanishes and wastes away. Verse 20, still Isaiah 10. In that day, the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant, those that escape the bondages of this world, those that escape the imprisonment of this world, those who escape the sins that have held us, the habits and the addictions and the carnal nature and the carnal desires, who have escaped and escaped to the Lord, who've gone from being Jacob, the deceiver and liar, to being Israel, the overcomer with God. In that day, the remnant of Israel will never again depend on him who defeated them. We will never again depend on the things of this world. We will never again depend on our education and our diplomas. We'll never again depend on our finances and our bank accounts and our retirement funds and our Social Security and the government protection. We will no longer depend on the things of this world, but we will depend only and solely upon the Lord God. He will be our arm. He will be our strength. And he alone, not our locks, not our security alarms, not our revolvers, on him and him alone. As Daniel in the lion's den, depending on the Lord, God will see us through. depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Again, there is truth, and God is truth, and His Word is truth. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thus, His truth does not change. His truth is everlasting. It's an everlasting good news. It's an everlasting gospel. Chapter 10, still verse 21, the remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob. Again, this turning back, this coming back to the Lord, turning away from sin and turning to the Lord, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness. The Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. He will make an end. He will end it all. He will end it in righteousness. He will put an end to this world. He'll put an end to this craziness. We will not destroy ourselves. No one will destroy us. God Himself will put an end to it. He says He will cut it short in righteousness. And if that day did not come, we would have destroyed ourselves. But He will come first. He comes because He comes for His people. He comes to take us home. He comes to deliver us. He comes to stand and protect us and to validate us and to justify us who've stood in truth for Him. He comes as our Redeemer and our Deliverer to take us to the mansions that He's prepared for us. To gather up the wheat and to put it into His barns and to destroy the tares, the weeds, with His fire. And though we be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. It's not all those who say, Lord, Lord. It's not all those who profess. It's those who keep His truth, who walk in His word, who have had their sins forgiven and washed away by the blood of the Lamb, and have been filled by God's Spirit, and have been transformed and changed and renewed. Verse 27, in that day His burden will be taken away from your shoulder and His yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. I think of the imagery of the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress walking around with the burden on his back, weight on his neck. The burdens will be lifted and roll down Calvary's hill and fall into the tomb and be removed far from us. God will remove the burdens and set us free. The sins will be destroyed. The wicked and those who hold on to Him will be destroyed because of the anointing oil, God's anointing oil. Prophets were anointed. Priests were anointed. The Kohanim were anointed. And the kings were anointed. All representations of the Messiah. The anointed one, the Mashiach. That's what Mashiach means. Messiah means the anointed one. Because of the anointing of oil, because of His anointing, we have been set free. Our sins have been lifted. Have been removed from us. And have been destroyed. Away. When He takes our sins from us, they are destroyed and removed from us. And we are set free. We are delivered and free indeed. Total deliverance. Confess your sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If your computer is your temptation, if that's your stumbling block, if that's your fall, and you surrender it to the Lord, you take it out in the garbage and you throw it away because you don't have control over it, Can you go on that computer anymore? You've busted it up, you've broken it, you've cut the wires. It's been destroyed, the garbage man has taken it away, crushed it to a million pieces, brought it to the dump, and they burned it up, whatever. Can you play that computer anymore? No. When he takes our sins away, we are free indeed. We can't commit them anymore. We don't commit them anymore. Unless you go buy another computer. And then it's a new sin. He sets us free because of the anointing oil, because of the Messiah, and because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then lives in us and through us, and we no longer continue in those sins that he gave us victory over. We no longer continue in those sins that he forgave and removed from us, that he cleansed from us. We don't continue in them. We receive deliverance so that he can take us into heaven where there is no sin. Victorious people. As described in Revelation, with no guile on their lips. Not defiled themselves with women. Pure and holy before the Lord. Talking about Revelation, Revelation 12, verse 17, talks about this battle and this remnant. The dragon was enraged with the woman. Two women in Revelation, the one I just quoted, they not defiled themselves with women, the false women, the false teachers, the false doctrines, the false theories, the false religions, the false truth, the imposters. And then there's the true woman, the pure woman, a woman clothed in white, again, Yom Kippur analogy there, standing on the moon with a garment of 12 stars, 12 tribes. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. The woman there in that picture is pregnant and about to give birth, and the dragon tries to destroy that child at birth. Child is Yeshua, the Messiah. The dragon tries to kill him even before he's born, and then tries to kill him as soon as he's born. And Herod has Herod kill all the children in Bethlehem 2 years and under. And all the remnant of her seed. Again, the remnant's like that end of that carpet, like the end of that bolt of cloth. It matches the original. Yeshua is the original. And the remnant will match him. The remnant will have his mind. The remnant will have his spirit. The remnant will have his character. He will live in us. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war. Bloodshed, attack on those guarding the gate with the remnant of her seed. Those who keep the truth. Those who keep the commandments of God. And have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. Two key descriptions, two key elements of the remnant. What does the remnant look like? It looks like Yeshua. What does the remnant look like? They keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. God's remnant have both, have it all blended together. Have God's laws and God's mercy. Have God's commandments and God's grace. Have God's truth and God's favor. The balance of the both, they have the whole entire Bible. All the scriptures blended together in one. The remnant in that day. The remnant of the Lord. Satan will make one last attack on God's people. They'll attack us at the gate. Press us back. Those who have God's truth and who keep God's truth. But God will be a strength to those. He will be a crown to those. He'll be a diadem to those. The remnant who keep his commandments and have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. As we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, we enter into the 10 days of awe. The 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the last day of days of Earth's history, the last time of Earth's history. I believe we're in that time right now. I believe the shofar sound has been going forth. I believe the warnings have been going forth. God's word has been being announced all around the world. People are coming to God's commandments and coming to Yeshua. And the devil is wroth and stirring up his wrath, and he's taking the battle to us. He's bringing it to the gate. And he's attacking God's people and trying to corrupt God's word. Trying to make our words and the word of God politically incorrect. Make us an offender by just reading the word of God. Shofars are blowing. We're living in the last days. This earth is growing old like a garment and falling apart right before our eyes. Nations are angry. Nations are falling apart and have been battling each other and killing each other and bombing each other and poisoning each other. And then they're spreading more and more. It's spreading around the world. Wake up. Wake up. The time is at hand. Wake up. God is on the move. God's word is going forth in powerful ways. People are coming to the Lord. At the same time, the wicked are getting wickeder. There are more and more people accepting God's grace and accepting His power and accepting His victory. And waking up from the slumber and waking up to the lies that we can never overcome. Waking up to the lies that we can't keep His commandments. Waking up to the lies that He made some changes and that things are different now. People are waking up. Coming to His truth and blending both the Messiah and His commandments together. And at the same time, the wicked are getting wickeder. And those who even profess, and even of those who profess to believe the Bible, are participating in the wickedness and doing what God calls abominations and justifying it and baptizing it and wetting it and anointing it, bringing it right into the gates. Right into God's kingdom, calling it acceptable. Wake up. We're in this time of awe. A rich young ruler came to Yeshua. What must I do to be saved? Yeshua listed off some of the commandments. Keep the commandments of God. I've done all those things. This one thing you're lacking. You haven't surrendered all. Surrender all. Sell all that you have and come and follow me. Come and follow me fully, completely, totally. Be dependent on me and me alone. What one thing are we lacking? What one thing is still on our record? Again, to quote from Pilgrim's Progress, who was taken in, and he's shown this man in this cage. He's in this cage just because of one sin, just one little sin. He says, "We'll give it up." "Oh, I will, I will. It's a little sin. I will give it up someday." There's no such thing as a little sin, because that little sin killed the Messiah. And if it was so little, then why wouldn't he exchange it for the kingdom of heaven? That shows you the value of that one little sin. That one little sin that we hold on to will cost us eternity. It's not so little, then. Is there one thing in our lives that's lacking? One thing in my life that's lacking? Is there one thing on your record still? In these 10 days of awe, tonight, starting now, let us be in prayer, praying, "Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Lead me in the way everlasting. Show me my record. Show me my book. Remind me of my past. Reveal the unknown sins. Give me the gift of confession. Give me the gift of repentance. As we pray, if there's anything in your heart, in your mind, let us surrender it before the Lord. Our Lord and our God, King of the universe, as we enter into this preparation time of these 10 days of awe, these last days, Lord, if there's anything that we haven't surrendered to you, if there's anything we're holding on to, our son, our daughter, our spouse, our parents, ourselves, our lives, our stuff, our time, Lord, convict us. Give us the strength and the grace to let go to you. Lord, use us in guarding your gate. Give us your strength. Give us your crown. Give us your diadem. Live in us and through us. And lead us in the way everlasting. Give us the endurance to endure through the end, through the war against Satan. And give us your victory. Live out your life through us. Write your laws, your commandments in our hearts and in our minds. Fill us with your anointing. Fill us with your spirit. And Yeshua, give us your mind. Anoint our tongues and speak through us. In Yeshua's holy name. Amen.